I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
I'm deeply distressed by today's announcement that Israel will initiate a complete siege of the Gaza Strip, nothing allowed in, no electricity, food, or fuel.
The United Nations is condemning Israel's siege of Gaza, saying it's illegal under international law. This comes as the death toll continues to rise from Israel's massive bombing campaign following Hamas's unprecedented surprise attack on southern Israel that killed over 900 people in Israel. The death toll in Gaza has topped 770, overwhelming hospitals in the besieged territory. We'll go to Tel Aviv and Gaza for the latest.
We were told to evacuate the eastern part of Khan Yunis and head to a safe place, but there is no safe place in the Gaza Strip. As you can see, the airstrikes are targeting everywhere.
That and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli airstrikes continue to rain down across the Gaza Strip, where the death toll has climbed to more than 770 people and is expected to rapidly rise as Israel masses troops for a possible ground invasion. Among the dead are dozens of Palestinians killed Monday as Israel bombed a packed marketplace in Jabalia, Gaza's largest refugee camp. Also struck, hospitals, a university, two UN-run schools sheltering families displaced by the fighting. More than 4,000 Palestinians have been injured. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says violence has displaced nearly 200,000 people across the Gaza Strip, with that number expected to grow. Humanitarian aid workers report hospitals are overwhelmed with critical shortages of medicine, food and fuel. This is Salah Hanouna, a 73-year-old grandfather whose Gaza neighborhood came under attack.
We were at home when we got information saying we have to leave immediately, to leave because our neighborhood is under attack. We took ourselves, our children, and grandchildren and daughters-in-law, and we ran away. I can say that we became refugees. We don't have safety or security. What's this life? This is not a life.
Israel's government says the death toll from Hamas's weekend attack on southern Israel has climbed to 900. On Monday, an Israeli volunteer rescue organization said it had discovered more than 100 bodies in the Be'eri kibbutz near the Gaza border. Among those missing after the massacre is 74-year-old Canadian-Israeli peace activist Vivian Silver, who co-founded the Arab-Jewish Center for Equality, Empowerment and Cooperation. Operation and was a member of Women Wage Peace. Her son fears she's been taken hostage by Hamas. Israel's military says it's retaking control of the Gaza separation barrier breached by Hamas and is laying landmines in the area. On Monday, an Israeli airstrike hit the Rafah border, crossing in southern Gaza, temporarily closing the territory's only link with Egypt. The crossing was reportedly struck again Tuesday, injuring two people, leaving a crater obstructing the movement of people and supplies across the border. This comes after Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant vowed to completely cut off the Gaza Strip and its 2 million inhabitants from the outside world.
I have ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip. There will be no electricity, no food, no fuel. Everything is closed. We are fighting human animals, and we will act accordingly.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says he's deeply distressed by Israel's siege of Gaza. The UN's top human rights official wrote in response, quote, "The imposition of sieges that endanger the lives of civilians by depriving them of goods essential for their survival is prohibited under international humanitarian law," unquote. In southern Lebanon, armed fighters with Hezbollah fired a barrage of rockets at Israeli military positions Monday after Israeli shelling killed at least three Hezbollah fighters. An Israeli deputy commander was killed during the cross-border fighting, which followed a similar exchange of fire one day earlier that had no casualties. The fightings prompted fears of a wider war across the Middle East. On Sunday, a senior Hezbollah official pledged solidarity with the Palestinians who carried out attacks on Israel.
The nation is with you. Our heart, minds, souls, our history and guns and rockets and all that we have is with you.
A senior Hamas official Monday denied reports that Iran and Hezbollah helped plan the incursion into Israel from Gaza, but said Hamas's allies stood ready to join the battle. The Pentagon says it's moving ships and warplanes to the eastern Mediterranean, including the USS Gerald Ford, the Navy's most advanced aircraft carrier, along with its accompanying battle group. Meanwhile, the White House says it's rushing military aid to Israel, including air defense missiles, small diameter bombs and machine gun ammunition. Israel is the largest cumulative recipient of U.S. foreign aid and is due to receive $3.8 billion in military aid this year. Today, President Biden's delivering a major address on the crisis in Israel and Palestine. Ahead of his speech, Biden signed a joint letter with the leaders of France, Germany, Italy, and the United Kingdom, who wrote, quote, to express our steadfast and united support to the State of Israel and our unequivocal condemnation of Hamas and its appalling acts of terrorism, unquote. The leaders added, quote, all of us recognize the legitimate aspirations of the Palestinian people. The letter makes no mention of Palestinian civilians killed and wounded by Israeli strikes on Gaza. Here in New York, hundreds of protesters rallied outside Israel's consulate in Manhattan Monday. This is Nardine Keswani, a Palestinian-American activist who co-founded the group Within Our Lifetimes.
We demand an end to the siege and blockade of Gaza. We demand an end to the occupation. We demand an end to the colonization of Palestine and all including Syrian lands like the Golan Heights and Shebra Farms in Lebanon, which are also occupied by Israel. The funding that this government provides to this state that is killing our people, that is using your tax dollars to do so. $3 billion a year is $10 million every single day. And this is just to the military. It's not just to the Israeli state.
After headlines, we'll go to Tel Aviv and to Gaza for the latest. In Afghanistan, Taliban officials say the death toll is nearing 3,000 after Saturday's massive 6.3 earthquake devastated the western Herat province. Hundreds of people are still missing. Their families have spent nights sleeping among the rubble of villages that were decimated by the quake and its aftershocks, hoping to find their loved ones as they dig through the wreckage with shovels and their hands. Bulldozers are being used to clear space for long rows of graves. These are two of the survivors.
My two grandchildren are dead. They are buried over there. I lost my whole life. Everything is under the rubble.
We want the government and other aid agencies to pay attention to us, to provide us with shelter and food so that the cold weather does not kill us. You can see our situation. They should give their full attention to everyone impacted.
Afghanistan was already facing a spiraling humanitarian crisis worsened by U.S.-led sanctions on the Taliban, with at least 15 million people struggling to access food and other resources. The United Nations is allocating funds for aid, while Pakistan, Iran and China have all pledged to send food, medicine, tents and more funds. Iran and Pakistan have also offered to send rescue workers. In Guatemala, riot police clash with protesters Monday as nationwide demonstrations grow, demanding the resignation of Guatemala's attorney general and prosecutors who've launched mounting legal attacks against President-elect Bernardo Arevalo and his progressive Semilla Party. Guatemalan Attorney General Consuelo Porras and her backers are accused of attempting to derail the democratic process that led to Arevalo's historic victory in August and prevent him from taking office this January. Porras on Monday called on the Guatemalan government to repress the peaceful protesters as indigenous leaders and supporters continue to block dozens of roads and streets across Guatemala. Arevalo has warned of worsening measures to attempt to quell the demonstrations, including the possibility of right-wing officials enacting a state of siege. In the United States, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said Monday he will no longer seek the Democratic Party's nomination and will run an independent campaign for president in 2024. RFK Jr. has drawn condemnation for spreading unfounded conspiracy theories about vaccines and over racist and anti-Semitic remarks about COVID-19. On Monday, four of RFK Jr.'s siblings, Rory, Carrie, Joseph, and Kathleen, wrote in a statement, quote, "Bobby might share the same name as our father, but he does not share the same values, vision, or judgment. Today's announcement is deeply saddening for us. We denounce his candidacy and believe it to be perilous for our country," his siblings wrote. CBS News reports RFK Jr. was convinced to run by Trump's former campaign manager, Steve Bannon, who believed he would be a useful chaos agent in the 2024 race. In other presidential campaign news, another presidential candidate, civil rights activist and professor Cornel West, says he's no longer running to be the Green Party's presidential nominee and will instead also run as an independent. California Governor Gavin Newsom has vetoed a bill that would have capped out-of-pocket expenses for insulin at $35 for a 30-day supply. State Senator Scott Wiener, who authored the bill, slammed Newsom's veto as a, quote, "major setback that will keep tens of thousands of diabetic Californians trapped in the terrible choice between buying insulin and buying food," unquote. A 2019 study found one in four U.S. diabetics skipped or reduced doses of insulin due to the high cost of the life-saving drug. In related news, California Governor Gavin Newsom has also vetoed a bill that would have banned caste discrimination. The measure was introduced by Aisha Wahab, California's first Muslim and Afghan-American state senator. Activists still celebrated the widespread support the bill received despite Newsom's veto. Nirmal Singh of Californians for Caste Equality said, quote, "The fact that caste-oppressed people were given a platform to stand up for our basic human rights is a huge win in and of itself. Bills like SB 403 would have allowed us to stand safely in our caste-oppressed identities," unquote. Fresno, California, last month became the second U.S. city to ban caste discrimination, joining Seattle. And the 2023 Nobel Prize in Economics has been awarded to Claudia Goldin, a Harvard professor whose groundbreaking research widened the world's understanding of the impacts women have had in the workplace and the causes of gender pay discrimination. Goldin is the first woman to win the prize as an individual rather than sharing it, and only the third woman to ever receive the Economics Nobel. In 1989, Goldin became the first woman to be offered tenure in Harvard's Economics Department. She spoke from Harvard after news of her win.
I work on long-term change in economic history, in particular, the evolution of women's economic role and where we are today, and the fact that there has been enormous change, and yet there are still large differences between women and men in terms of what they do, how they're remunerated, and so on. And the question is, why is this the case? And that's what the work is about.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Hospitals in Gaza are being overwhelmed as Israel continues a massive bombing campaign in response to Saturday's surprise attack by Hamas militants on southern Israel. The death toll inside Israel has surpassed 900. Meanwhile, authorities in Gaza say at least 770 Palestinians, including 140 children, have been killed so far in Gaza. Israel's also reporting the bodies of 1,500 members of Hamas have been found inside Israel. On Monday, Israel announced a complete siege of Gaza, pledging to block electricity, food and fuel from entering the territory, which has been under an Israeli blockade for 16 years. Hamas responded by threatening to begin killing hostages seized in southern Israel. At the United Nations, the U.N. High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Türk, said, quote, the imposition of sieges that endanger the lives of civilians by depriving them of goods essential for their survival is prohibited under international humanitarian law, unquote. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres also condemned the Israeli siege.
I am deeply distressed by today's announcement that Israel will initiate a complete siege of the Gaza Strip, nothing allowed in, no electricity, food or fuel. The humanitarian situation in Gaza was extremely dire before these hostilities. Now it will only deteriorate exponentially. Medical equipment, food, fuel, and other humanitarian supplies are desperately needed, along with access for humanitarian personnel. Relief and entry of essential supplies into Gaza must be facilitated, and the UN will continue efforts to provide aid to respond to these needs. And I urge all sides and relevant parties to allow United Nations access to deliver urgent humanitarian assistance to Palestinian civilians trapped and helpless in the Gaza Strip. And I appeal to the international community to mobilize immediate humanitarian support for these efforts.
The UN Palestinian Refugee Agency reports Israeli bombings have damaged 18 of its buildings in Gaza, including 4 schools and 8 healthcare facilities. According to the UN, more than 187,000 residents of Gaza have been displaced. Numerous residential buildings have been hit in the Israeli attack.
The Shamalak family has been entirely wiped out. The entire family, 14 people, all under the rubble. We got out 12 people, and still the rest are under the rubble. We cannot get them out. Israeli forces hit the building without warning. They did not ask us to evacuate. They did not say anything. Suddenly we heard the airstrike and we ran to the building. We found out that it collapsed entirely.
Meanwhile, more details are emerging of the horror that took place Saturday in southern Israel during the unprecedented surprise Hamas attack. More than 100 bodies have been retrieved from Be'eri, an Israeli kibbutz near Gaza. That's about 10% of the kibbutz's total population. A number of residents from there remain unaccounted for, including the well-known 74-year-old Canadian-Israeli peace activist Vivian Silver, who is a member of Women Wage Peace and a former board member of the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem. Her son, Yonatan Zeigen, fears she has been taken hostage by Hamas. He spoke to ABC News.
I think this is exactly what she was working to prevent, all kind of war. It's not completely surprising, although it's very overwhelming, that we got to this point. These two people have been in a state of war for so long. This is the outcome. And this is what she was working to try to prevent. And I was raised on that, on those values and on those aspirations.
We begin today's show in Gaza, where we're joined by Rafat Al-Arir. He's a Palestinian academic and activist, the editor of the book Gaza Writes Back, co-editor of Gaza Unsilenced. In 2021, he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times headlined, My Child Asks, Can Israel Destroy Our Building If the Power Is Out? That was 2 years ago, Rafat. Describe what's happening right now in Gaza.
Thank you, Amy, for having me, and thank you for this coverage. What's happening is what Israel has always worked to achieve. Israeli leaders and officials are speaking about sending Gaza to the Stone Ages. Israeli officials are speaking about destroying Gaza. They are focusing on damage and destruction rather than precision. We speak about whole blocks destroyed, all government buildings, 20 UN facilities, including schools and clinics, all the roads, all the infrastructures, all the roads leading to the major hospitals, especially the one in the heart of Gaza City, were destroyed. So Israel bombs Palestinian families as they sleep, as they stay in the safety, so to speak, of their home, and then bombs the ways that lead help and aid and ambulances to these areas, and then bombs the ambulances that try to help those people. That's why we have about 800 Palestinian casualties. We speak about more than 400 children, women, and elderly people. Most of them were killed in the safety of their homes without any prayer warning. Not that any warning would justify this Israeli brutality. Israeli war criminals are speaking about Second World War level of destruction against the Gaza Strip. What is happening in Gaza is complete and utter extermination of the non-Jewish population in occupied Palestine. As you mentioned, Israel ordered a medieval hermetic siege from air and sea. Israel has also just bombed the only way out through Egypt, the Rafah crossing. The only way out is what we are foreseeing is slow starvation, slow genocide. Maybe Israel is going to push us all into the sea. And I think what is making it even more difficult than before is that the whole world, not even lip service, all American and European countries and politicians are rushing to pledge allegiance to Israel and to Netanyahu. Israeli American politicians, American presidential hopefuls are literally calling for genocide. American mainstream media is not pushing back against Israeli officials, calling for the collateral damage of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza. Why is this happening? Because we refuse to live under occupation. We refuse to live in total submission. We want freedom. We want this occupation to end. This is not a state of war, as one of your guests just mentioned. This is a state of occupation that started over 75 years, that started with the British Empire giving Palestine to the Zionist movement in 1917.
And Rafat, you mentioned the Gaza's border with Egypt. What has been the response of the Egyptian government to that border crossing, which, as we understand, was also bombed by Israel as well?
I'm not following closely because we barely have any electricity or internet. But what I heard is that the Rafah border is now closed, so people cannot leave. And also, when we talk about people leaving, very few people in Gaza have visas or passports that would allow them to leave. I'm reading a report just now that Israel is even warning to strike any aid coming from the Egyptian side into Gaza. So with no food, no electricity, and no water, we can only expect what Israel has been working to achieve, what Israel and Israeli officials and politicians are promising now. Some are calling for striking Gaza with a nuclear bomb. Can you imagine that? And many other Israeli officials are using Nazi discourse and Nazi language, talking about Palestinians as savages and animals that need to be exterminated and that Gaza needs to be turned into a parking lot. This is what we are dealing with. We're dealing with a systematic, structural, colonial attempts to annihilate and exterminate the Palestinians with the aid and support of the West and American tax money. America is sending $8 billion. This is really insane. America is also sending warships and bombs and bullets for Israel to kill more and more Palestinians.
And what are you asking for people in other parts of the world and other governments to do?
I think the governments are not only complicit or giving the green light, they are participating actively. The shameful statement from France, Italy, UK, and Germany, and America the other night was a hideous attempt to justify Israeli massacres and genocide taking place in Gaza. We have no hope in these countries. We have no hope in these governments. At least now, the only hope we have is in the growing popular support in America, in the movements the human rights and the rights movements in America and across Europe to take to the streets to pressure their politicians into putting an end to this dark episode of not only the history of the Middle East but also the history of humanity. If people are asking how was the Holocaust allowed and other genocides in Africa and across the world, now you can see this live on TV, live on social media. Palestinians, whole blocks destroyed, hospitals, schools, businesses. We are speaking about thousands and thousands of housing units destroyed by Israel. So my message to the free people of the world is to move, to pressure, to mobilize, and to take to the streets.
Rafat Aladir, you are the father of six. How old are your children? And can you describe what it's like to live there right now? Now, Israel says that it has 1,500 dead Hamas fighters. That's outside of Gaza. The number inside Gaza is nearing 800. Describe the bombing strikes now. This is before Israel does what it's threatening to do, which is lace complete siege. They've said they've cut off electricity, they've cut off gas, food, etc., but actually ground troops moving in.
Like I said, this has been systematically happening for over seven decades. It was the noose around Gaza's neck was tightened 15 years ago, and it's being tightened even further now. The situation is unspeakable. You can't describe what's happening in words. We speak about thousands, hundreds and thousands of Israeli bombs and shells targeting all areas of the Gaza Strip. The kids can't sleep, the kids can't eat, the kids can't even speak. Most of the time, they're just mute, silent, shaking out of fear, sometimes whimpering because of how close the bombs are wherever you are in Gaza. And again, how the houses shake every time there is a bomb around. And this is happening again all over Gaza Strip. Israel is telling people, is pushing people forcibly to leave out of their homes and asking, urging them to go to certain places like the city center or the UN places, shelters. And then Israel bombs the roads leading to these areas and bombs these crowded areas. Yesterday, there was a massacre. Israel killed about 60 Palestinians in Jabalia refugee camp in a local market where there is a UN school, people taking shelter there. So whether it is my kids or any Palestinian kid or any Palestinian, no one is safe. No place is safe. Israel is bombing everywhere. Israel is lying. And that's something, thank you for highlighting this, that Israel sometimes, once every 100 times, 1,000 times, it sends a message warning 10 minutes before and asks, for example, a huge building of 50 housing units to leave, and you can't take anything with you if you have only this limited time to leave. And when people leave, wherever they go, they will be chased and hunted down by the bombs. These are, again, barbaric, and these are an extension to Israeli attempts to exterminate Palestinians, whether in Gaza, in Jerusalem, or in the West Bank.
Rafat, let me ask you about that. You say Israel gives a warning, and now Hamas is saying if they don't get that warning before a building is bombed, they will kill one hostage for each one of those bombings. Can you talk about how much support there is for Hamas within Gaza, the government of Gaza?
Amy, I'm sorry. Who translated that message for you? The message was clear. It was a threat, and it clearly stated with the bare minimum of humanity that Israel sends a warning before it bombs a family home. And when we speak about homes in Gaza and in Palestine, in Gaza, we speak about houses that have like five or six or even seven housing units, flats, where three generations live in the same place. That's why Israel exterminated more than 30 families. Most of their family members were killed because it bombs without sending a message. The message from Hamas was clear. Send a warning before you bomb, meaning don't bomb Palestinian homes with the kids and the women and the elderly and the young people inside. So this is what's going on. And people in Gaza want to be safe.